when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be here this morning? It's a beautiful day. No sun, no rain. So you must rejoice in what the Lord has done. And pray that there's no further rain. And the sun is enough. We like it as it is. But this morning, wherever you are, I want you to bow your head and just say a prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Say something to me that will direct me and guide me. My life, I need guidance. I need to know which way to go. And help me, oh God, help me. Help me in my walk. And Lord, thank you so very much for this gathering of your saints. This is something that is your doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Finish what you have started and cause us all to be blessed in this. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, and all the saints, and amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Are you happy to be here this morning? Yes. Today is a special day. That's why things are a bit different. Because we have a special guest who's coming at 10 o'clock to give us a special message. This special guest, he's an apostle of the ministry from South Africa. And he'll be here at 10 o'clock. So today, ask your neighbor, the meeting you have after this service, cancel it. Tell neighbor, the meeting you have after this service. I know when we close at 9:30, thereabouts, you are going to see the district commissioner, or you're going to see the MD of Absa Bank. I know you are busy. Tell neighbor, I know you are very busy. But this particular day, the meetings you have after this service, cancel it. Because I want you to stay. Okay? Stay as we are closing the service. We will be starting the next service, the Word Encounter service. I want you to stay for that service. Because it will be a special service. And the man coming, you may never have another chance to hear him. This may be your chance. So I don't want you to make a mistake and go into the bush. Is that a good idea? Oh, I didn't hear any response. No, only three of you are speaking. The rest of you are quiet. Is it a good idea or not? Some of you refuse to talk. Hey, tap your neighbor, ask him, are you the stubborn one? Tap your neighbor. You didn't tap. Are you stubborn? Tap your neighbor. Are you the stubborn one who doesn't talk when they say talk? Hey, shout amen. Hey, Agwesi, at your entry, shout amen. I can see your mouth is quiet. You say that. Yeah, shout amen. I think that I don't have eyes. I have eyes. Well, because of our special service we are having at 10 o'clock. And it's almost 10 o'clock. It's just 9 o'clock about now. So just a little bit more, then we are there. I want you to listen to a very important passage of scripture. You know, I had a man 2 days ago who said that he reads 20 chapters every day. 20 or 30 chapters every day. And I said, hey, yes, Bible. And he said that in the year, he goes through the whole Bible 8 times. I felt like an unbeliever. 8 times in a year. Some of you, even 1 chapter a day, cry, you have not done it before. Yeah. You haven't done it before. And this morning, by the grace of God, I have a long passage to read. So this is your chance to also be getting near 20 chapters of scripture a day. And this man, he's the pastor of a church, 720,000. 720,000. That's his church. Members, attendance. Attendance, not paper. Paper is more than that. This is the physical attendance on a Sunday. They have 7 services in different halls. I've been there. I've seen with my eyes. You must go there. You must go there. So I want you to, this morning, listen carefully to this story I'm about to read. And I will tell you something about it. Joshua chapter 3. We just came back from a fantastic Give Yourself Holy conference. I mean, oh, you see, your clapping is not. Wait. If you are clapping, clap. If you would, say I would. Uh-huh. Yes. That's better. Yeah, I mean, yeah, clapping. As if you are hungry this morning. And our Father spoke to us over these 4 days. And we all agree, 4 days is too short. Because he had 40 points to give us of one topic. We only got about 20. Then he had 80 topics for another topic. We only got about 9. So there's much more that he didn't share. And even the 9 and the 12 that we got, or 20... 24 that we got, we were blown away. It was so fantastic. And what I'm sharing is part of one topic. What did I say? Part of one. Because we are not able to finish it. I want you to look at Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Please don't say that. You're waiting for me to start preaching before you start listening. This is the message. Some of you say, oh, you're waiting. You just finish the Bible reading. Then you preach. This is the message. The word of God is why we are here. So listen carefully and follow it. Otherwise, you lose the story. How you can be attentive to watch all these Nigerian movies? You can remember and tell people all the details. Please be attentive and listen to all the details of this short story. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed, or they moved, they went from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Please remember that King James is not simple English. Remove doesn't mean remove. Remove means they left that place to go on. So you must also understand the sentence, okay? I didn't hear okay. Yes. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, telling them all the, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, buried it, then ye shall remove. Remember, remove. It's not remove, it is go. Ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. You see, what Joshua was saying was that the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence. And he said, when the Ark of Covenant moves, you too move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In short, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Because many of us, we move when God hasn't moved. We get up and we go somewhere. I mean, somebody's getting up. Where are you going? I'm going to London. What did God say? I don't know. I didn't ask God. You have gone. How won't you come back discouraged? How won't you come back after 7 years? What do you have? You know, I have my nice shoe. I wear my coat. I have a new phone. After 7 years, that phone, they can get it for you in Kumasi by a phone call to an army officer to somewhere. You don't have to go to London for 7 years to go and buy one Samsung A25. You can get it here for free. I didn't hear an amen. So he said, when the ark moves, are you listening? When the ark moves, then you move. If somebody asks me, what should I do? What should you do? The question is, what has God said? What has God said? What do you, let us first ask God. Somebody came to me, I have a plan. I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, but it's not working. What should I do? I said, I have another plan. Let's pray. And you see, I'm laughing. When I say let's pray, you don't pray. That's why you're not seeing that it's a serious answer. When I say let's pray, I don't mean, Pastor, okay, Father, bless me, Jesus, amen, I've prayed. I don't mean that. I mean, you are praying every day until you have a feeling. Do you know a feeling? Hey, do you know a feeling? Or a fearing? The one you like. You have a fearing in your heart that this is what God is saying. You don't, rarely do you pray once and then you are done. No, you keep on praying. Pray without season. That's what 1 Thessalonians tells us. Keep praying. Pray continuously. Amen. Please tap it up and ask him, when was the last time? Tap it up and ask him, when was the last time you were in a prayer meeting? I don't know. I'll ask his answer. I'm not ending. I'm asking a question. Give me an answer. When was the last time? Hey, you mind me again? Choristers. Kimathi, when was the last time you were in a prayer meeting? Yesterday. When? Thursday. Hey. And today is Sunday. Yeah, I mean, Friday, normally Friday is prayer times. And Sunday and Saturday, the weekend is prayer times. If the weekend you didn't pray, Shabaya. Amen. But listen, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. 2,000 cubits in the modern translation is about half a mile. About half a mile. Come not near unto it. Is it familiar? Don't come near it. Is it familiar? You are not paying attention to the Bible. Because a certain man, the ark was falling down. And this man, he was a very good Christian. What better than you? And he went to support the ark from falling down. And what happened to him? He was promoted. What happened to him? Tapping about what happened to him? He was struck there. The ark, and a very zealous man. I tell him about you, I'm not sure of your zealosity. Yeah, I'm not sure of your zealosity. I feel that zealosity is a bit on the low side. He was very highly zealous. But still, he was struck down. Was I in reality? Come for my keys. I'll not hide from the pulpit. We are late. I should keep quiet. I'll say it. If I can't say the truth, we are finished in church. No, if in church, tell neighbor, look, I beg you, please, tell me the truth always. Tell your neighbor. Tell my neighbor. My neighbor, I beg you, I beg you, tell me the truth always. If my mouth is smelling, tell me. If I have body odor, tell me. Tell me the truth always. Because nobody, no, listen, it's finished. Stop talking. Stop talking now. You have got to start saying something else again. Because nobody speaks the truth. True or not true? How many have stood by somebody who was smelling, but you didn't say anything? You didn't say anything. Just wait away quietly. You just move and move. That's all. And he's your friend too. You should go like that, smelling in the whole town. You are not correct at all. You should have told him, brother, buy lemon. Buy lemon. No, so I'm saying that. Listen. Time is going. So I'm saying that Joshua tell them, let there be a distance. I'll explain. Because, you know, we are, how should I put it? Many of us who are here this morning under the pretext of being in church, you are a bad sinner. Still. Many of us who are here, who are looking very, some are wearing white, like me. They are wearing white. Yet still, there are many wrong things and bad things in your life. And you want to come close to God with lifting your hands. Look, somebody's phone, you guys, you're not serious at the back there at all. Somebody's phone is ringing and you're letting the whole sound spoil. You see, you are coming before God saying, I am holy. Meanwhile, you are not holy. And you are pretending before me, it's not a problem. Because I'm very happy with your face. There's no orange colors. I don't see some wild colors. It's a very nice, normal looking face. I like it. Those who have some black on their faces, I don't like that one. So you see, we see their faces and their smiles, and we are happy, not God. Not God. God, he sees, I mean, your face is straight to your heart. Straight. God looks straight to your heart. Then you come and stand here and say, oh Lord, I'm presenting you my money. It's my full tithe. And you know your tithe is three times what you are presenting. And I say, how many tithe? Then you raise your hand, you tithe. Your last tithe was March. That was your last tithe. And you have come to stand here and raise your hand. That's why I said, look, I like you. Don't come too close. You understand? Don't come too close. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. This is just in parenthesis, you know. This paragraph is just because we are following from, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. This one is, the yet was just an insertion, just to qualify it. So as it is supposed to read, then going back to verse 3, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Down to verse 4, the second part. That ye may know the way by which ye must go. Do you understand now? For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You see, God is saying, where I'm taking you, you have no idea. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has planned for somebody else, for pastors, for good, holy Christians, for those who love him. Ask your neighbor, do you love God? And see, the mystery is this. Let me tell you, there are some people who are still into very bad things, but they love God. I'll not dispute it. They can love God and still be quite weak and still be falling down every 2 weeks or 3 days. They love God, but they are still falling. Yeah, and God is also mindful of their weakness. He knows we are but dust. He knows that we are not strong at all. Some of you guys, even pornography, you say, I have stopped. Then you go and watch again. You say, I have stopped. Then you go and watch again. or it's not true? It's true. Yeah, I've stopped about 7 times this year. Photography. Yes. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want you to pray. Lift your hand and pray. Lord, do something wonderful in my life. Lift your hand and pray this morning. Just say, Lord, because God is in the business of doing wonders. He has done it for somebody. Why won't he do it for you also? Why will God give somebody a free phone, somebody a television, somebody a car, and as for you, he will give you nothing? No, 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 no. It's not fair. It's not fair. So just say, Lord, do a wonderful thing in my life. Lift me up. Oh, just stand to your feet for 1 second. I want us to pray this prayer. Just please. Ask him about, that man, is he wise? No, ask him about, that man, is he wise? He's not. He's a fresh man. God will without fail. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Verse 12. Mark verse 12. It's very important. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. It's very important. Do you know why? Because I want to ask, if you come to this room and we say, we are looking for 10 people to do for anything, 10 singers, 10 dancers, 10 counselors, 10, will you be in that 10? Will you be in the 10? If we want 10 singers, are you among the best 10? We want 10 ushers. Will you be among the 10? Because some of you, you are not a singer, not an usher, not a dancer. You are nothing. You are just sitting in the church. You are not even among the chosen. You are not minding me this morning. May you stand out and be chosen in the name of Jesus. And verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. It shall, you see, when the Red Sea was parted, that's not the only time. You think that only one was part. There were many partings of waters in the Bible, not only one. It parted here, also Elisha, and then another person else. I'm coming. Shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. The waters will dam up. An invisible dam will appear and hold back the waters. And it came to pass, verse 14, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and that as they bear the ark and were come unto Jordan, and he's just repeating what he has said. This is what I said. It has happened. And the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the waters. For the water was flooded. It was rainy season. Verse 16. That the waters which came down from above stood. It stopped flowing. Upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. And all those towards the south. And it passed over. Verse 17. My time is going. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant stood firm. Where? On dry ground. Where? In the middle of the river. The priest, tell somebody, what is more impossible? The water has just stopped running and he's standing there. And the priest that were holding the ark stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were clean passed over. Amen. Amen. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, everybody had passed over, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the tribes of the people, out of every tribe a man. And listen to this. And command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. It means, pick 12 men, go back to the dry riverbed, and carry 12 stones, and not small stones, not pebbles, a big stone on your shoulder. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the tribe of children of Israel out of the Israel, and Joshua, verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye upon every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. It means a big stone, a big significant stone that is heavy, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7. Then shall ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off, were stopped before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Amen. Amen. I mean, this is a very significant event. It's the beginning of the conquest of the promised land. Remember that when Israel left Egypt and they were walking on the road, it was to be a 3-month journey. But they are grumbling. Are you listening? No, please look at me. Don't be bored. Yeah, their grumbling made the 3-month journey be extended to 40 years. Because, you see, what happened was they went round and round in circles. They were moving constantly for 40 years. They didn't stay in one place for 40 years. They were moving from place to place because God said, your grumbling, your words that we are going to be a prey and our kids will die. He says, no, the kids who you say you will die, they will not die. You will die. And so you are going to stay in the desert for 40 years until all of you were speaking so negative about me. You all pass out of this earth. Then your children, who you say are nothing, they rather will enter the land. And so they have finished that 40 years. That generation has been wiped out. They've all gone. Now it is time to enter the promised land. Amen. And the Jordan River is the border from Canaan into the promised land. So Moses brought them as far as the Jordan. Now it is for Joshua to cross over into the promised land. And how to cross the river, it was a total miracle. It was a total miracle. The Jordan has always been seen as a spiritually important part of Israel's community. That's where Elijah, Elisha did the transfer. That's where Jesus was baptized. The Jordan has always been a place where man and God meets. Hallelujah. So when they came to the Jordan, and they had the land was stopped, the river was stopped, and they crossed over. God told Joshua, tell the people, take 12 stones from the dry river and take them to the place where you are camping for the first time. Now, number one, the stones, if you know the Bible, in the book of Genesis, oftentimes picking up stones was a sign to build an altar. To build an altar. So these stones were being put up, were being gathered together to build an altar to God. Number two, when Jacob was sleeping under the sky and then he saw the ladder, the stone that was there on the land, he took it and said, this is Bethel, the house of God. This is where God is. Now, they use the stones, or they gather the stones from around where they are. But in this particular, peculiar, strange story, God told Joshua, don't pick any stones from around. Pick a stone from a place where ordinarily you will never get it. Pick a stone from a place where, at the bottom of a river, ask him, can you swim? Ask him, can you swim? Do you dare dive into the river to go down and pick a stone, even a small pebble? No, ask him, can you go to the river and pick a pebble from the river? You cannot. If you go, you won't come back. Maybe water will catch your hand and hold you down there. But he said, these stones that are now being used for the altar, they have come from an impossible place, a place where without the help of God, you would never get it. Hallelujah. You would never have access to that place. And he said, go into that dry riverbed now and pick up stones and bring them out into your normal life. I want you to, I'll be ending very soon because of something, but I want you to this morning decide something. I will walk deliberately with God. I want you to decide something this morning. God says he will without fail. He's in the, this particular scripture, the emphasis is so strong on God in the midst of his people. The emphasis is so strong that God is with us. And many of us who don't mind or don't bother about God's presence, maybe that is why you see no dramatic difference between you and other people. Maybe that is why some of you cannot remember a testimony. You can't find what you can say. When they say Ebenezer, thus far has God brought us, Emmanuel, God with us, you can't find any God with you, God with me, and God has brought me anywhere. And you can't see any clear signs of God in our Christianity. But God is saying emphatically, he is in the midst of his people, he is with his people. And he told them, take these 12 stones and put them down. Take them from the bottom of the river. Listen. I want us. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
Hey, are you listening?
Yes.
Brother, are you listening? Your yes is very no. It's not a strong yes. Yes. It's like it's no. I want us all to let our Christianity. Otherwise, tell me, but otherwise, don't bother coming to church. Don't come and sit here in church on a Sunday as a Christian when there's no God helping you. Coming to sit down here on Sunday with a nice, look at your neighbor's face. At least the face is nice. Tell him, don't come and sit here on Sunday with a nice face as if God is helping you, when during the whole week, there is no help from God. What's the use? Who are you fooling? What are you benefiting? Coming to sit here on Sunday like this, you have wasted 2 hours of your life. You should have gone to the disco, or gone to the bar, or gone to where? Keep fit. Keep fit is better than that. When you live longer before you die. When you die, I don't know where you go. That one is up to you. But don't come and sit here without God in your life as a real entity, as a real physical presence. God in the midst. And you see, to make it clear, remove these stones from the river and put them on the land as an altar, as a tangible evidence. So when the kids ask, what are these stones? I say, God is with us. What are these stones doing here? Because they are very nice and smooth and white. And I mean, it's different from all that. Because these stones are from the bottom of the river. Hey, how do you get it? God is with us. God is with us. Are you the one who can sit in VIP, sit down, and then begin to sleep at once? Are you the one who, when you sit in the bus and a man gets up, yembompai, then you are now squeezing your face? That you don't pray before you move your car out of Kumasi to Accra. You just trust the driver to take me there. Are you the one? Are you the one who, when you sit in a car and you are going anywhere, you don't say, Lord, take me and bring me back safely? You are the one who you trust Ghana drivers. On our way coming from Accra yesterday, my South African friend, he said, hey, you're driving in this country. You're driving in this country. They were confused. In this country, you don't do this. You don't overtake when the car is coming. Only in Ghana. Only in Ghana. A car is coming, then you overtake. Oh, it's not true, Pastor Michael. It's very true. And you are the one who will sit down and trust the truck driver. Who is the one overtaking like that? No. Listen. I want us to, you see, today we are going to meet a very spiritual man. Oh, yes. A man, I've been privileged to get to know him very closely over the last few months, and he's very spiritual. And the reason why I am telling you this about Joshua is that many of us, we don't bring spiritual things into our lives. You may pray, but when you get up from here and you are going, your thinking is, who can help me? Yeah. You have prayed. If you prayed for, that one was a question. But when you get up from here and you are moving to town, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, then from Monday there, you are not a Christian, you are a Ghanaian. You are a Ghanaian. You have come to land in Ghana to use Takashi. Do you know Takashi? Patapa. What again is there? Where is the means? Plan B. Tactics. You are using all kinds of means to achieve an aim instead of trusting God. Instead of trusting God, you know, somebody said, Charlie, as for God, you can't trust him because you are not sure. No. You are right and you are wrong. You are not sure because we walk by faith, not by sight. That's why we are never sure. Because when you are sure, then you are walking by sight. Because by sight, I can see where I'm going. But when your eyes are closed and you're walking by faith, you are never sure what you're going to. I mean, how many have ever started walking somewhere? I see the straight road, I close my eyes, then I start walking. When you open your eyes, you are somewhere else. You are never sure when you're walking by faith. You cannot be sure walking by faith. It's not possible. That's why it's scary. You don't know where you end. But that is also our confidence that where you are ending is even better than where you plan to be, because God is the one guiding you on that step. God is the one guiding you. This your clap in there is a anemic clap. Hallelujah. Are you listening? And so, listen, our time is up. We have to end now. But I want us to decide Tell anybody, I'm a Christian. No. Say it. Say it with conviction. I'm a Christian. If you are not, today you become one. I'll give you a chance to pray in a few minutes. But if you are a Christian, when I say a Christian, I don't mean a church goer. Church going there, it means nothing. I know many Muslims who have come to church and they left as Muslims. It didn't change them at all. And I've gone to a mosque before. I'm not a Muslim either. So where you go doesn't change you, doesn't make you anything. It's what you decide to be, what you choose to be. And a Christian is somebody who's a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. That's why you're called a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I want us to decide to become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And from today, this is the second half of the year, is it not? Yeah. Decide that I will be the spiritual things. I will bring them into my life. The spiritual things. I'll not be a physical person only. Exam, looking for work, everything. I will add prayer. Not the normal prayer. Yami, shami, why? No. A prayer where I'm praying for God to meet my needs specifically. Hallelujah. When you pray that prayer, you'll be amazed that people will be asking you, how did you get this phone? You see, those stones were a testimony to make people ask questions. What is this? Where is it from? They say, God did it. How did you get this? God did it. Where is your car from? God did it. How did you get a wife? God did it. When I say God did it, because of time, it's not a cliche. They say, the day you want details, I can give you details. God did it. It's not kulunu or anything. They say, how did God do it? Do you want to know? Sit down. I'll tell you how God did it. Because we know exactly how God brought us here. Hallelujah. I want us to, just for, our time is far, far gone. Just for 1 minute, just stand to your feet this morning and just pray. Pray this one prayer, 5 minutes, 1 minute, without time, 1 minute. Pray this prayer. I want to be spiritual. Just 1 minute. I want to be spiritual this morning. I don't want to be a person who's walking around just normal. No. I had a friend who was writing exams, law exams. She didn't learn. She was fooling around. And God told her to learn. She didn't learn. She went to the exam room. Then she saw that she had not learned. She was hot. Then she prayed. Look. She prayed in the exam room. Oh, God, help me. And then as she prayed, then she saw suddenly her book open in front of her eyes. She saw her book, her notebook. When she opened her eyes, the thing is gone. When she closed her eyes, then the book is there. She can see the page open to the question they're asking her. How much can you chew Baba to know the whole page? No, don't bother. Then she will be writing and then she copies. I said, that's one that she copied from her book. She copied. I said, I've not heard some before. I said, no, she too. That day she was crying in the exam room. Lord, her last papers, I think. She said, God told me I didn't listen. And she was crying. And she saw her book open in front of her. What again? You want to go and work hard when God can help you? May God help us. May God help us. May we enter into a new era where we are truly spiritual, truly led by spiritual things, by the Spirit of God to do what we are doing. You want to bow your head this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's all. Jesus Christ has not come into your heart, into your life to take control. And you are here. And you want this Jesus to come into your life and into your heart. Wherever you are, do me a favor. Just lift your right hand. I want to pray with you right now. Thank you, my son. You want to give your heart to Jesus. This Jesus who has saved us. He is not in your life. You don't know him as Jesus is a part of my life. And from today, you want to say, I want to know him as a part of my life. Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand. I want to pray with you right now. Just lift your right hand. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for everyone here who has come to gather this morning. And let these words be a clear seed of the word of God that is planted into our lives. And let it bear much fruit in our lives to come. Thank you so, so, so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it is. Hold on the piano. It is almost a failure on all of us that we come to church. There's nobody new or nobody who has come to meet Jesus for the first time. And it doesn't speak well of us. It means that we just rise up and come. When there are many thousands around us who need Jesus, we are like the four lepers who have found a lot of food. Their attitude was, we can't keep quiet, but we have kept our goods to ourselves. I really want us to embark on a very serious, serious evangelistic lifestyle. Hallelujah. I didn't hear good amen. And your lack of amen means you won't do it. Your amen weakness is that, Pastor, you finish talking, let's do the communion, and then we give our offering, then we are finished. That's the amen you are saying. And please stop that sound there. That's the amen you are saying. Because what I am saying is, you have seen somebody who is very sick, and you have walked past him to go your way. And you say, oh, I didn't burn him. It's not my responsibility. And you're walking past a very sick person lying on the road. Even a normal person, a stranger, cry, will take him to the hospital before a police station. And carry an armed robber and they beat him. They don't abandon him. I want us to really start something like this. Hallelujah. Amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest.
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place, this and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.